This is a replay of our Sunday, September 11th church service, sermon by Pastor Raph Gaudio. We hope you enjoy the message and the music by the worship team.
We want to welcome each and every one of you this morning to Grace Christian Fellowship. I know others are still gathering in. We want to welcome those that are listening on radio at 89.1 FM. We pray a blessing upon you as you've chosen to turn on the dial and to listen to our service today. Just want to remind you of some announcements. How many love announcements? Okay, just a few hands. Come on. There's a tithes and offering box available for donations as you enter the sanctuary. Just keep that in mind. But we want to talk to you this morning about the Ignite workshop put on by Word International, and that's going to be on Saturday, October the 22nd, and it's all about sharing your faith. And so there's a sign-up sheet at the entrance, and there's also a little kind of strip of paper that gives you all the details on how to sign up online. So we encourage you to do that. These strips of paper with all the pertinent information will be available at the end of the service. You can pick one up and you can sign up. Now, this is a really important workshop. It's not a cookie cutter workshop on just, you know, how to share your faith. It's something very unique, and I know that you're going to be blessed as you share your faith. So I really want you to be praying about this. I really want you to be thinking about participating in this workshop, and we are extending it to all the churches here in Creston. And I know that Erica's excited about it. We're excited about it. And that date is going to creep up real fast. So please take the time to sign up today. Just as you go out the doors of the church, just on the side there, there's a sign-up sheet. And again, pick up one of these pieces of paper that give you all the pertinent information that you need to be a part of this workshop taking place on October the 22nd. We are encouraging you to participate in a week of prayer. How many believe in prayer? Can I see your hand? Okay. I'm so glad to see all those hands that believe in the power of prayer. We are beginning on Monday night, 7 p.m., right here at the church. And if I'm not mistaken, that's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Monday is tomorrow. So that's at 7 p.m. Please come and be part of this time of prayer. It's an hour from 7 to 8, and I know that you'll be blessed as you come and pray with God's people. Now, I know we're all busy. How many busy people do we have here today? Could I see your hands? Okay, I know there's a lot of busy people, but we cannot be too busy to come out to pray and seek the face of God. So I'm encouraging you, maybe you can't come every night, but pick a few nights and come and be part of this time of prayer and seeking the face of God. Now, it'll begin on Monday night. It will continue on Wednesday night to Saturday night. So please keep that in mind. On Tuesday night, we are going to be having the Freedom Reign Tour with special guest Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. And she's going to be here sharing. So we really need you to participate again in this very unique tour event. She's been touring across British Columbia, and she's included Creston in that tour. Some of you may remember her because she was part of CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, and she was the host for quite a few years here in Canada. And so we are anticipating a great time. Now, this is not a political rally. I just want to get that out there. This is a time where we can learn about freedom and the freedom that we enjoy here in Canada and how it is slowly being taken away from us in so many ways. And so we really need to participate, to hear the speakers that are going to be here. And I know you're going to enjoy it. That starts at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. The doors open at 6:30. If you're here at 6:25, I might let you in. Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that, Nancy. Glory to God. So please keep that in mind. We got some exciting interviews coming up as well. The following week, we're going to be having Tanya Gaw on This and That. She is part of Action for Canada, and I know that you're going to enjoy that. And then the following week, we're really excited to have Pastor James Coates. And he is going to be doing an interview. How many remember James Coates? Okay, so he was the pastor that was arrested, put in jail in Alberta for a period of time. He's written a wonderful book called God versus Government, and he's going to be talking about that book. And so we're excited about that as well. So we've got some great interviews coming up on This and That on Tuesdays. So keep yourself posted. Saturday, men's prayer meeting at Gary's shop. Our Wednesday Bible studies begin September the 21st at 7 o'clock, and we'll be digging into the book of Proverbs. So please keep that in mind. Ladies' prayer meeting Tuesday, September the 27th. Notice the time change. It will be at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Pacific time, just so you'll know. There's a couple of announcements this morning. Anne Marie has an announcement. Where is she? And Terry Lynn has an announcement as well. So if she could come to the front, then we can have her do those announcements.
Good morning, church family. Happy fall, y'all. How many are excited about garage sailing? No, I don't see any hands. That's true. We've got our annual garage sale coming up on the 24th. And for anybody who's interested in making donations, we will be collecting them on Thursday and Friday, the evenings before. And if you would help us out, we're going to have all the tables set up. To make it very simple, if you wouldn't mind putting your items on the tables as they're delegated in the categories, and that will make it easier for all of us. Because I'm not sure if we're going to be able to run this garage sale, because we need volunteers. Just on the day of, I've got this little sign-up sheet that I'm going to put it up at the back. So 8 to 10 would be one shift, just two people needed. 10 to 12, another two people, and 12 to 2, and to pack up. So if we could get people out to volunteer for those hours to cover, then that would be really great, because we can do that, and all the proceeds will go to the pregnancy care center that is currently being developed. So it's a good cause. So hopefully everybody will participate. We'll see you then.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask for a few volunteers with Laura and team coming on Tuesday. We've been asked to prepare a meal for them. We're going to be feeding about 15 people. I just have a list here. And if you're interested in bringing some food that we could help serve and or help serve and tidy up, that would be great. So I just need a few things. So at the end of church service, if you could please talk to me and volunteer your time and your food, and that would be great. Thank you.
Amen. I see we have a picture of our new prime minister. No. We're going to give you a chance to move around and shake some hands this morning. Let's stand, let's move around and shake some hands. No, it's Putin. It's
Putin. Shame it is a prison. And cruel eyes are gray. Shame it is a robber, and he's come to take my name. love, my Redeemer, lifted me up from the ground. Love is the power, my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. And I hear that trumpet sound, rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down.
There ain't no grave.
There ain't no grave.
There ain't no grave.
I can't hold my body down.
There ain't no grave. There ain't no grave.
There ain't no grave. Oh, when I hear that trumpet sound, gonna rise up out of ground. Oh, there ain't no grave. Yeah, yeah. Gonna hold my body down. 'Cause you see, there was a battle. You know, there was a battle. And a war between death and life. Oh, and there on that tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. Went down into hell, and he took back every key. And he rose like a lion, and he set the captive free. There ain't no grave. Oh, I can't hold my body down. Oh, there ain't no grave that could hold his body down. Oh, when he heard that trumpet sound, when he rose up out of ground. Oh, there ain't no grave. Could hold his body down. Oh, there ain't no grave that could hold his body down. The grave I'm walking to. Oh, you walked out the grave I'm walking to. You walk out the grave I'm walking to. Oh, oh, you walk out the grave I'm walking to. Oh, and you walk out the grave I'm walking to. Oh, you walk out the grave I'm walking to. Oh, you walk out the grave. You walk out the grave. Oh, you walked out the grave. Lord, you walked out the grave. Oh, you walked out the grave. You walked out of the grave. Oh, you walked out the grave. You walked out of the grave. You walked out 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 of the grave.
Testing. There we go. Just want to read one verse as we open our service this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Just one verse. It says, the end of all things is at hand. How many believe that verse is true? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound thinking, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. So we need to be in prayer. And God is calling us to seek His face. We don't know what's going to happen in the months ahead as we enter into the depths of fall and into winter, should the Lord tarry, but we need to be spiritually prepared. That's so important that we're spiritually prepared. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You as You have allowed us one more time to gather together. I pray that we would never take for granted this freedom that we have to come together like we are this morning. I pray as the service goes forward, Lord, that You would be lifted up, that You would be glorified, that You would be magnified in this house in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray from the beginning to the end of this service that everything that is said and done, Lord, would bring praise to Your name. And Father, I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand together and worship our God and King.
I will not be shaken. Oh, I will not.
tremble, even when I stumble, even when I fall, even when I turn back, still your love is sure. You will not abandon, you will not forsake, you will cheer me on in never-ending grace. Sing for joy, sing for joy now. Our God is for us, the Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Okay, let's sing Even When I Stumble one more time. Even when I stumble, deeper than the ocean. It's wider than the seas. It was so much that you stretched your hands out, Lord, and died on the cross. And this isn't some fairy tale, it's reality. Lord, we just pray that as we sing of this and remember what you've done, that our hearts would be drawn to you. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. And there's a place where streams of all the love.
I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You did a beautiful job. Just a little secret. I'm partial to the one that was on the keyboard. She's kind of cute to me. So I have to just warn you that I've been spending time with my grandson and Jeremiah, and he's in a period of transition in his life. There are many of those, yes, we know, but he is in this period where his language skills are developing and he's actually stringing sentences together. But the interesting thing is when he gets really excited, his words kind of will just, whatever he has in his vocabulary, he just will say. So it'll be like cat, fireman, pterodactyl, and it'll be this funny little sentence that makes no sense. So what I'm saying is if I start doing that, you know why. So many things going on in the world right now, it's like it's hard to even know what to talk about sometimes. So many transitions. We have a new king, apparently.
They do.
We have one king. His name is Jesus Christ, and he reigns. He reigns on high. He reigns in your hearts. He reigns in the church. And we will declare his glory and his good deeds and his love and his forgiveness and his freedom, his salvation to all. May we be willing to do that at all times. We have a new leader in the Conservative Party. Yay! Does that have anything to do with what I'm talking about? Well, kind of. You may remember that the last probably three sermons that I preached had to do with, remember? Who was it?
Ooh.
Well, yes, but who was the good guy?
Elijah.
Elijah, that's right. That's right. They'll have a chance for that later, okay? So, and what I was talking about was, if you remember, the northern kingdom of Israel was seeing dark days under this despicable leadership of Ahab and Jezebel. Boo! Okay? Ungodly leadership that led the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, into idolatrous worship, and they abandoned the worship of Yahweh. You'd be hard-pressed to find godly leadership in our day, in this world. So we have a lot in common with that period of time. We have lots that we can glean from that. I want to give you a little recap, just in case you forgot. So in chapter 17, we talked about where God commands his prophet Elijah to prophesy a declaration of drought, which was the judgment of God upon Israel. It didn't rain for 3 years. So there was also a drought of the Spirit of God, but also famine came and a famine of the Word of God, because persecution of the prophets had been declared by that wicked queen, and anyone that stood for Yahweh was put to death by the sword. You remember? But God protected Elijah. He took him into the desert. He took him into the wilderness. He provided for him. He spoke to him. It was wonderful. Wonderful miracles took place. He fed him with ravens. He fed him through a Gentile widow. And even there was a situation where Elijah raised her child from the dead when he died. Do you remember that? Amazing. God was with him, unquestionably. But then later on, we get to a point that's kind of a low point in the narrative. What happened? Jezebel put a hit on Elijah and said, "You are going to be dead. By the gods, you're going to die," right? And what happened? He ran. He was afraid. He went into the wilderness again. and he was done. He was suicidal. He wanted to die. Such a low point in this powerful prophet's life. And it happens. It happens to the people of God. But God met him there with his heavenly messenger, fed him, took care of him, allowed him to rest, allowed him to heal, to continue on. So that's where we are in our story. But actually, I should also remind you is of that powerful encounter that happened where God answered by fire and the prophets of Baal were dispatched and killed. There was a revival that happened. So all this stuff was happening in this ministry of Elijah. Yet, in the end, Elijah is running away, discouraged. Let's turn to the last part of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 to 18. And we're going to read it out loud here. And I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, and it's a great translation. It's very much like the New American Standard. And so, if you notice a little bit different this morning, that's why I'm reading from this translation. Then he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Yahweh came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets by the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before Yahweh, and behold, Yahweh was passing by, and a great and strong wind was tearing up the mountains and breaking the pieces of rock. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Then after an earthquake, fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a thin, gentle whisper. And it happened when Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. They seek my life to take it away." And Yahweh said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and you will arrive and anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and Jehu, son of Nimshi." Jehu. "And you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meloah, and you shall anoint him prophet in your place. And it will be that the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu, will put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha, shall put to death. Yet I leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him." Let's pray. Glorious Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would speak through your word. Pray, Lord God, that you'd open our hearts to hear your word today by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that you would reign in this place, that you'd reign in our hearts, and that those that are listening by radio would receive a touch from you today. We need you, O God. We need you, Almighty God. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. (clears throat) So Elijah, again, what we see here is a very, very different prophet. Someone who is acting differently. He ended up in a place called Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Do you remember Mount Sinai? Why is that a special place? Because Moses had been there. So it's like Elijah is driven from this desert, this wilderness place, to the mountain of God. Why? He had to meet with God. How many know that sometimes when you are in the depths, when you are, you don't know what to do next, it's time to go meet with God. It's time to clear your schedule. It's time to do whatever it takes to meet with God. Amen. Right? Some of us remember in this church, a period of time happened late January this year, all the way through February and beyond for some of us and some others, where we were forced to meet with God. We had no choice. It was time to meet with God. Many of us were so sick, we couldn't even pray. But something inside us, I remember some of you brothers probably remember, something inside of you, the Holy Spirit, at one point in time, something happened and said, and you said to yourself, I need to meet with God. That happens in life, and it's usually in the lowest points. That doesn't mean that you don't meet with God at other times. But in the depths of despair, God will draw us. God was drawing Elijah to this place. But the funny thing is he said, she's got to remind me to drink some water. God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? But that's a bizarre sort of thing for God to say. Ma lecha po is the Hebrew. Ma lecha po, Eliyahu. What are you doing here? Is he in the wrong place? How many in some time in your life thought you heard God to tell you to go somewhere or do something and you were in the wrong place? Has that ever happened to you? Yes, it can happen. But is Elijah in the wrong place? Well, Elijah is called to be a prophet of God. Elijah was given a task to confront ungodly government, which he did. But there was more to the task. But at this point in time, he can go no further. So he went to the mountain of God to meet with God. And God says, what are you doing here? And his answer is, slide 5, that he said, I've been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now, this answer of Elijah's is reveals some things to us. First of all, he's disappointed. I think he views that ministry somehow as a failure. Why? Well, Ahab and Jezebel are still on the throne. After all that happened, they're still there. His perception is completely narrow. He's not seeing it right. He forgot all that God did. God had protected him. God had cared for him. God had done miracles through him. He multiplied food. He raised the dead. There was repentance that took place of the children of Israel. And revival, real revival. The Spirit of God, the power of God came and there was revival. And the children of Israel repented. He forgot all of that. All he could do was point out to how the Israelites broke the covenant. And that he was alone. Have you ever felt alone when you're standing on the truth and you feel like no one else is hearing it? It's like here he is before God. God who sees all, who knows all, Almighty God, and he's telling him, I'm alone. Can't remember what God did. In fact, the story told us earlier in chapter 18 that there was actually somebody who had hidden prophets in caves, two caves, 50 prophets in each, and he fed them. So Elijah wasn't alone, and he knew that. So let me ask you this. Is Elijah before God lying to him in this most sacred place? This place where Moses met with God and the power of God came upon the mountain and the mountain shook and billows of smoke and fire came. A sacred place? No. No, he's not lying. But something is wrong. And then in verse 11 we see, he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh is passing by. And a great and strong wind was tearing up the mountain, breaking in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Here are, it says that Yahweh was not in these manifestations of his power. But he's still there. He may not be speaking, but he's still there. How many know that oftentimes we're looking for God to speak in the mighty things, the mighty acts, like these wonderful supernatural acts? We're looking for that. That's where God speaks, we think. But he doesn't always speak that way. See, the way he's dealing with Elijah here is different. It's very different. He's not even correcting him on the things he's saying. Because Elijah is still hurting. You know, before I talked about how Elijah was suicidal. Well, he's not out of the woods yet. And you can tell by the way he's acting before God. You know, when you're in a state of mind, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, where you're so focused on your own issues, the things of God don't even impress you. You know, here God is manifesting these powerful acts of nature. And Elijah is not saying a thing. He's not fazed at all. See, God in the scriptures spoke in those types of manifestations, right? He spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke to the children of Israel. He spoke to them in the mountain. And there was all these amazing manifestations. Fire, billows of smoke, shaking. Because Yahweh had descended upon the mountain. And it says, ascended the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. But here is the sound of a gentle whisper. This is the way God spoke. Are you listening? Is God whispering to you? Can you hear him? Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But listen. It's not always in the big things that he's speaking. Elijah continues to act strangely, and it's almost as if he's unaware that God is there. Now it happened that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, the voice came to him and said, "What are you doing, Elijah?" Once again. "Malacha po." And Elijah answered, "I've been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone are left." I submit to you that from what we've been reading so far, and you maybe see this already, Elijah is depressed. Have you ever spoken to someone who's depressed? You can say all kinds of amazing, encouraging things to them, and all they'll tell you is the same things over and over again. What their problems are, how they're hurting. They will not be listening to you at all. Elijah's repeating himself. Well, so is God, mind you. But Elijah is not even aware that he is in the presence of Almighty God. All he can do is see his own issues, his own problems, and they're clouding everything else. He wrapped his mantle around his face. Now, this could have been a sign that he was recognizing the holiness of God, but it also could have been Elijah just recognizing that God was near, and he could die if he looked straight at this at holy God. He could die. So it could be that he was just trying to preserve his own life. And that is one of the things is the root, one of the root problems of depression is self-preservation. When I was in depression, my perspective was black, bleak. People tried to encourage me. I was despondent. I wouldn't listen. All I could do is repeat all my problems over and over again. I was alone all the time, by choice. Elijah spent 40 days and 40 nights to get to where he was, to Mount Horeb. All that time he was alone, isolated, thinking, ruminating on his situation and his loneliness. It's just getting worse. Can you imagine his thoughts? Just over and over again, "I failed. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. I got to get out of here. Jezebel's after me. No one to talk to receive words of encouragement or exhortation, to comfort. No one to challenge his thinking. His thinking was wrong. His perception was wrong. He forgot about the miracles of God. He forgot about what God had done through him. All it was all he could think about was negative things. People have been isolated for whatever reason, can end up preferring to be alone. They like to stay isolated after a while. Well, Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out in dispute against all sound wisdom." This isolation is motivated by self-preservation and self-protection. When depression comes upon someone, it causes that person to be focused on what's happening to them. They can't see anything that's happening around them, especially the good things. And they forget those things that have happened in their life. Now, Old Testament prophets, they were used to being alone. They operated alone a lot in their ministries. In the New Testament, Jesus would often go off alone to be with the Father. And Luke 5:16 says, "But he would withdraw to the desolate places and pray." It's not wrong to be alone. It's just wrong to stay alone. And sometimes it's necessary, isn't it? Sometimes we're in a position where we have to be alone. we're relocated or there's some issue with work where you have to be gone, school, sickness. Sometimes people can't come out. They're shut-ins. They can't come out of their houses because they can't be mobile. But the truth is long periods of isolation is detrimental to people. Period. We're not meant to be alone. God designed us to be in community, to care for one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to comfort, to break out of that, to help us to check our thinking, to challenge us. Amen? Elijah was disappointed, but he also was disillusioned. You know, there is a trend that's been going on for a long period of time where you see people that once professed to be believers in Jesus Christ who now are not. You know why? Because they've been disillusioned by the church, by people, by relationships, and even, they think, by God. You know, it's like Elijah here feels God let him down. You know, I did all these things. He didn't say this. But I'm just imagining, thinking that it's like God let him down. He thinks God let him down after he did all these things for him. All he can see is his own problems. The big one was that Jezebel and Ahab were still in power. She was hunting him. Nothing had changed. His life was being threatened. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life." When people are disappointed or discouraged, they can lose hope. You can see how Elijah has lost hope here. Have you ever felt that way before? And if you haven't, you might. And maybe there are those outside us right now, outside the church listening, that feel like that right now. So if this isn't a message for you, it might not be. But maybe it's a message for them. Or maybe you know somebody that was a powerful saint of the Lord, that the Lord used mightily, but now they are disillusioned or disappointed, depressed perhaps. They don't want to be in church. They don't want to follow God. Maybe you can reach out to them. Even Moses became discouraged. You know, there was a point in time Moses asked God to kill him. Moses. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, forgetting that publicly he said about Jesus that he was the Lamb of God. But then when he was in prison, he said, "Is there someone else that we should be looking for?" John the Baptist said that. So what is God's remedy for this broken man? Well, he affirms the calling he gave him. Elijah was in his presence, didn't seem to be moved so much by that. But you know what? God did something. He reaffirmed the calling he had on his life. He gave him vision. He said, "Go return to the way of the wilderness in Damascus, and you will arrive and anoint Hazael king over Aram." Get back to it, Elijah. You have a job to do. Reaffirmed his calling of who he was. He was a prophet of God. And it's not said this way. God doesn't say it this way. But get back to it. If you feel like you've been sidelined right now and you're down and you're disappointed and you're disillusioned, you have a calling on your life. And it's to pick up your cross and follow him. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, when I was depressed, the Lord came to me when he healed me of a bipolar disorder. Depression was a part of that, obviously. Part of that healing came through doing. You know what God did in my life? He told me to serve. He told me to serve, and he told me to serve broken people, broken street people who had addictions, who when they told me their story, all I could do when I went home was think about what they told me, about how hurting they were. I didn't think about my problems anymore. I didn't think about that I felt lousy inside, and that I could hardly speak to people, and that I shook, and that I felt awful, I felt dead inside. But when I started thinking about those people who needed Jesus Christ, I got down on my knees and I started to pray for them. And I asked God, how can I serve them? How can I touch those people? Lord, please save those people. I got my eyes off myself and onto the work of God that He called me to do. Amen. Amen. So there was going to be a new king in town. So the job was not finished. Ahab and Elijah were going to be done. Had he just waited? Had Elijah just waited? It would have been happening. But these things happen. But God is still in control, no matter what. So he continued on to say, the one who escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will put to death. And Elijah was supposed to anoint Elisha as the prophet in his place. So Elijah was going to be retiring, but still God had use for him. God had a purpose for him. And this was going to shake him out of his depression. So God met with him first, but then he reaffirmed his calling and gave him a purpose. Some of us maybe need that. Are you lacking vision? Do you feel like you're out to pasture? Do you feel discouraged, disillusioned? Maybe you're depressed. I don't know. But maybe I'm talking to those, like I said, out there. But you know what? Maybe there might be some time that you might find yourself in that point, in that position. And if you do, remember. Remember today. Remember this word. Because God will lead you to Himself, and He will minister to you. And when you feel the worst that you ever have, He will remind you that He has called you. He's called you to Him, and He's called you to serve Him. Amen. And you are not alone. Elijah was not alone, because the word says here, God said, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all those that have not bowed the knee to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed Him. Right. Well, speaking for myself and many of you in here, we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we have not bowed the knee to Baal, and we serve Him only. And all those listening by radio, you have a place to go because you're welcome here. You're welcome to the body of Christ, and we need you.
Amen. That's right.
And you need us. In that time when the Lord had spoke to me in my dark, some of my darkest days, He said to me, pick up your cross and follow me. I lived alone and I was drawn to isolation. And sometimes it feel like people abandoned me. My friends, they wouldn't even visit me or, you know, what I needed them. I really needed people. But through it all, God reminded me that He was there and that I had a job to do. You know, I stopped thinking like that. I stopped thinking about me, 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 me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He died for each one of us so that we would not say me, 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 but Him. But Him. Amen. And them out there.
That's right.
Amen. So there are those who desperately need to hear the Word of God, who need the gospel, who need encouragement, who need you to share what God has done in your life. Will you be willing to reach out to those that maybe you know that are struggling? To draw back those believers that you know that should be in church, should be joining us or another church. Doesn't have to be here. That are checked out. Because God has a call in their life. And God will meet them. All they have to do is cry out to Him. Amen. And for those listening by radio, or even here today, I want to share with you 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Working together with Him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. 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 So remember, in the depths of your despair, God cares. In 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He has a calling for your life. Amen. And it's amazing how God Himself is the answer to depression. Because before there were psychiatrists, before there was medication, not to say that those things shouldn't be used. Sometimes they may be needed. But God Himself is the cure to depression.
Amen.
Amen. He is the healer. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are the answer. You are the one who can shake us out of our despondency, out of our depression, out of our sense of failure, our sense of being discouraged. Oh God, You are such a great God. Thank You, Lord, for my salvation. Thank You that You set me free from depression, from bipolar disorder. Thank You, Lord, that You took me out of darkness and You brought me to Your marvelous light. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today that doesn't know You or is struggling in some way, Lord, or those out listening by radio. Oh God, that they would reach out to You and know that You're calling to them, that You want to meet with them. And maybe at the moment they might not be impressed with You, but You have a calling on their life, and You will invade their life, and You will show them how mighty You are as You set them free by Your power. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, in Jesus' name. And we just declare that today. We say, Lord God, that depression has been allowed to fester, even as a part of these mandates, where people have been forced in isolation. And there's scientific proof that affects people negatively. And mental illness just is on the increase. So Lord, we come against that today in Jesus' name. And we say that You have given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear. So I just thank You, Lord. And I just pray You touch hearts mightily today. I pray, Lord God, that You would reach into people's lives and draw them to Yourself. I pray, Father, that You would bring people to salvation. For today is the day of salvation in Jesus' name. Today is the day. The time is now. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Toward You and give You
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed that amazing message. Blessings on your day.